from the Word of God, and we're going to talk about what John saw this morning. What John saw. And we read from the book of the Revelation, beginning in chapter 1. Here we go. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things must certainly, shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they which also pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, and to you who are troubled, that would be almost everybody in the world, wouldn't it? And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious and his eternal word. For some reason, and I guess there are reasons, the book of the Revelation is a book that a lot of preachers want to stay away from. They won't be part of it. Now, there's reasons for that. One is they think they can't do it justice. Probably none of us can, unless the Holy Spirit's with us. One of the things that they shy away from it is the fact is, they don't believe it. We have any number of pulpits filled with people today who don't really believe the Word of God, who don't really believe that this is what it says and says what it means. And then there's the crowd that says, well, you can't understand it, so there's no point to fooling with it. Just forget that last book in the Bible. Let me tell you something. That's one of the most important things in the world is the last book in the Bible. It opens the door of heaven that we can look in and the door of earth that we can look back. And as we look at this today, I want you to recognize something, the purpose of this book and the object of this book. If you go back and open up one of your old Bibles, I pulled out the Kendall Family Bible from up in Ohio that's on a shelf in our bedroom that my grandmother left me. I opened it up to the book of Revelation just to read it one more time. And you know what it says the title of this book is? It said, The Book of the Revelation of St. John the Divine. I have come to tell you this morning that there's nothing in here to be revealed about John. John is an instrument that God is speaking to and through, and God is opening our eyes to see the world that we're in and how we're living. Now, we want to talk about what John saw. Actually, what John saw is a revelation of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what does revelation mean? Now, don't get all hoodoo-y on me and start talking about voodoo and all that kind of stuff. The revelation, there's no more revelation of truth than what you have. There are some things we don't know, some events we don't know, some prophecy we don't understand, but I can tell you all that you ever need and ever will need is in this Bible right here. And if you stick with the Word of God, don't go run off on a tangent someplace else, you'll be just fine, my friend. You can just walk in the light of that. But when you have a statute up and or something and you want to reveal it to the people, it's covered. But all at once, somebody reaches up and pulls a cord or grabs a corner of it and pulls that sheet off of it, and suddenly it's revealed to you what's under there. That's what it means to reveal. Now, the purpose of the last book in the Bible is to let you know how it ends, let you know where it's going. And I can tell you, my friend, you can be afraid of it. Yes, it's a book full of monsters and trolls and demons and spirits and destruction and mayhem, all of that's in it. But that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is to let you know in the end, when the last gun has been shot, when the last bomb has been exploded, when the last demon from hell has manifested himself, when the last bad thing on earth has happened, my friend, and you pull back the curtain and you look, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be there standing on a white horse with the armies of heaven. And my friend, he is going to be in charge of this world and the world to come. Amen. And you can trust him. So the purpose of the last book of the Bible is not to reveal to you monsters and trolls and all of those things, although they're in there. The purpose is to let you know that when the final period is made, the final T is crossed, the final I is dotted, my friend, Jesus Christ will be Lord of all. And every creature in heaven and earth will be bowing before the throne saying that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Now, let's look at it. What did John see? First thing John saw was Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? He's all in all. He's all that I need. He's all you'll ever need. My friend, what he saw was Jesus in that day and time. John was the bishop or the pastor of the province of Asia Minor, which is now the country of Turkey. And all of these churches, Philadelphia and Ephesus and Thyatira and Smyrna and all those churches, the seven churches of the Revelation, are all seven real churches that existed at that time. And sadly, all run over by Muslims today, and those churches are all gone. But those churches were all there. And it was a mail route that went around all to those seven churches. There actually were more churches in Asia Minor than seven, but there were seven major churches on that mail route. And as they carried this letter, which had to be handwritten, of course, from church to church and read it before the congregation, then they carried it on to the next church and read it to the next group of people. And as they read it, it revealed to them, because these people are just on the brink. They've gone through Nero, and they're close to the Emperor Domitian, and he's going to burn Christians at the stake. He's going to feed them to the animals. He's going to treat them like dogs, worse than dogs. He's going to persecute Christians to no end. And these people are going to face something, and they need to be prepared for what's coming down the road, just like we need to be prepared for what's coming down the road. And as he looks at the churches, he sees that each one of those churches has a candlestick, has a lamp burning with fire. And among those lamps, he sees his first cousin. You know, John, that wrote the Revelation, and Jesus Christ in the earthly family are first cousins. Their mothers are sisters. And he looks and he sees Jesus walking among the candlesticks. His hair has turned as white as snow. His feet look like burnished bronze. His robe is shimmering white, and around the paps, around the chest, there is a golden girdle. And as he walks, the light is shining all around him. And he's walking among these churches. This is the first thing that God wants you to see through John. He wants you to see that Jesus is working through the churches. Jesus is walking among the churches. He's walking among the candlesticks. He's giving life and light to the churches. Jesus, my friend, is walking in this church and any other church that will let him come in. I'm sorry for what's happening in the churches in America. I'm sorry that they're letting up on their moral stand and their stand of the Bible being the Word of God. I'm sorry for all that, Bill. I appreciate so much what you had to say. And my friend, you have to look at this, but I want you to know that among the churches that will hear him, and among the churches that will let him light the fire in their candlestick, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is walking among those churches. That's the first four chapters of the book of the Revelation, is about Jesus walking among the churches. And you say, well, what else is it about? Well, what else is about? It's not very pretty, because the rest of it's about the people that's living on this earth, about the nations that's living on the earth. You have to understand, John is on an island out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And as he looks, the waves are suddenly foamed up by the wind, and the sea becomes restless and begins to churn. And it's revealed to him that these are the populations of the people of the earth. The people that live on this earth are unsettled. Do you ever notice how unsettled water is? Do you ever go to the ocean and see how unsettled the ocean water is? It's constantly in motion, night and day. All the time it's in motion, it's never rested. My friend, that was the way John saw, through the Holy Spirit, the people of this world. He saw them as an unrestless sea that was moving, constantly churning, constantly turning. And as he looked at that sea and he saw all of that, out from among the people that were in this world comes these horrible monsters, creatures that you can't imagine, that you can't even draw a picture of hardly, creatures that defy imagination. And he looks and he sees these terrible creatures coming, some out of the sea and some coming from the land. And the nations of the world are, in fact, as Jesus had prophesied in Matthew 24, that the nations of the earth would be nations that would be in consternation. They would be astonished. Nations would not know which way to go and what to do. And my friend, if you can see anything at all, you can see you're on the edge of that sea. And if you pay attention to what's going on in the world, my friend, it's disturbing to watch, to see the nations not know what to do. We don't know how to deal with each other. We don't know how to get along with each other. We don't know which leaders are lying and cheating and which are not, or if any are not. We don't know which way to go. But as we look, my friend, we see that these nations are there, and these horrible people or beasts are coming up out of the ocean, and these horrible beasts are coming up out of the land. And brothers and sisters, if you turn back to the Old Testament and you look at the book of Daniel, you'll see two visions in the book of Daniel. Number one vision is the one that Nebuchadnezzar had, and he saw the nations of the earth, the whole panorama of history laid out, with a head of gold and shoulders of silver and arms and torso of bronze, and all down to iron and to the feet and the toes become iron and clay mixed together. And he sees a great stone hewed out of the mountain without hands. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the King that's coming. And it rolls down the mountain and smites the image on the feet, and the destruction of that image is complete, and it becomes dust. My friend, that's the nations of this world. That's what's going to happen to them. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was a great king, and he was privileged to see the nations as valuable objects of art. But let me tell you something. When Daniel saw it through the eyes of God, he saw them as beasts. All of them were carnivores. They had claws on their feet and on their paws. They had great teeth in their mouth, and their great strength, and they devoured other nations. One nation devouring another nation. One nation destroying another nation. No wonder Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars. No wonder he said nation would rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, you're in a precarious time, and you're in a time that's getting ripe to be taken over by the Antichrist. Somewhere in this world, my friend, the Antichrist spirit is moving and working right now. And you may think he's in the local beer joint having himself a big old time, and he may be, but my friend, I can tell you where the demon spirits of the Antichrist are working, and they're working in the halls of Congress. They're working in the halls of the Senate. They're working in the palaces of kings and rulers all over this earth. and it's persuading. If you go back to the Old Testament and read again, you'll find out that was sometimes when he's talking to an angel, he's actually talking to the head of a nation. He's actually talking to the king of Persia. Oh, my friend, you've got to see that you're living in a dangerous time. You've got to see that you're living in a time that you have to be ready. You have to find yourself ready. Because, my friend, all of these beasts and all of these creatures are manipulated from somewhere else. And you say, well, where would they be from? From the United Nations in New York? No, not from there. You say, well, maybe this is from Rome. No, not from Rome. You say, well, where? From Washington? No, not from Washington. My friend, the powers of these governments to wreak havoc on the earth and to do horrible things on the earth comes from the devil himself. The Bible said that Satan has given him his power. And you know what guides it? A false church, a false religion. Because as he looks at this scarlet colored beast with its seven heads and 10 horns and all those kind of things, he notices that upon it is a prostitute riding, a woman that exemplifies worldly wise religion. And she's riding upon this beast and she's guiding him. All of these things, my friend, that are happening in the world and in prophecy, you need to pay attention to, because the spirits of hell, the powers of the demons of hell, my friend, have come out into this earth. During this time, I saw with John an angel come down to heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and they opened up the key, the bottomless pit, and when they did, a cloud of darkness came up out of it and covered the earth. And you say, what was it? They were demon spirits that were imprisoned from before ever there was man created. Demon spirits were in this place, kept under lock and key by God. And in the end, it's judgment against the people of this earth who were turning against God, my friend. He unlocks the door, and it's worse than Pandora's box. My friend, when he unlocks the door and he raises the lid, the demons of hell come up out of that box and inhabited the earth. And the Bible said they go forth to do what? To torment. Think about the word, torment. They go forward to torment the men and the women that's living on the earth. Did you ever see a time? We live in the best position, humanly speaking, that any people ever lived in. We have the best food, the best clothes, the best entertainment, the best perfume, the best soap, the best rides, the best entertainment. Whatever it is, our generation and the people around us have experienced the very best that there is, the very best that there is to have. But my friend, I can tell you, they also at the same time have all of this, and they're tormented night and day. And this says, when the, what do they call them, cicadas, the locusts, when the locusts come out, my friend, and they come through the land, think about it. These demons are compared to the locusts, and they're compared to the locusts that sweep over the earth and take over everything that's there. And they don't eat the plants because these are demon spirits. They eat the people. They gobble up the people, and the people are consumed by the power of the enemy. My friend, that's what John saw in the book of the Revelation. And he saw the nations of this world gather themselves together at the end and combine their forces together to do what? To fight against the Lamb, to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ and His church, to fight against the Bible and the Holy Spirit and what God has set forth in this world. My friend, that and what did Jesus say? When you see the nations of the earth gathered against Jerusalem, and you see them make war against Jerusalem, then you be sure that you know that the end is at hand. You be sure that you know that the time is at hand. My friend, you don't have any time to play funny religion. You don't have any time to mess around with what's going on with your life or with the world. Because I'm telling you that Satan is on the loose. Somebody said the devil's in hell. I wish to God he was. I wish he's in the hottest part of hell and it was burning him with fire real good. But I can tell you he's not. He's not in hell. He will be. He's going to be. He's on the earth. I'm sure I saw him somewhere along the road this morning coming down here, some of his works and some of the things he does. If you look, my friend, you can see that Satan is at work and on this planet and among these people. And we need to think about it. And you say, what's going to happen? These nations are gathering together. My friend, do you realize all this thing with China? Think about what nation can raise an army of 200 million men and walk across the Euphrates River and come to fight at Israel. What nation can do that? Who can do that? Who has that much? Pay attention, my friend, to what's going on around you. Don't let Satan bamboozle you, as Daddy used to say. Don't let Satan get your attention so much that you can't pay attention to what's going on. What's happening, my friend, is what Russ Justice used to sing here years ago. Time, 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 time is winding up. Destruction's in the land. God's going to move his hand. Time is winding up, the song went. My brothers and sisters, as you look and you see those armies begin to march, you can see the configuration of nations is beginning to work, beginning to come against Israel. God help our nation not to be stupid enough to be on that side. I have to tell you, if you go to the book and you read the book of the Revelation, it's hard to find America in there. I think by then we'll be a third world power. I think by then we will not be one of the great powers, but we'll be one of the secondary powers by then. If you pay attention to what's going on in the world and what's going on in the Word of God, you discover, my friend, that everything ultimately focuses on Israel. Everything ultimately will focus on Jerusalem. Everything will focus on that way. And my friend, you say, this is going to be horrible. All these armies marching and armies coming from the north, from Gog and Magog, which is Russia, by the way, coming down to Israel and armies marching up from Asia across the Euphrates River. The Bible said the Euphrates River would be dried up so that they prepare the way for the armies of the kings of the east and the armies of Africa and everybody marching against Jerusalem and the destruction coming. My friend, you ought to be on your knees praying. You ought to be getting ready, my friend. We used to sing Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Who's going to be able to stand? My brothers and sisters, as I look at the prophecy of this precious old book and I realize that he left that book of the Revelation, my friend, what's going to happen to these nations? They're going to come against God and there's going to be the great battle of Armageddon. That's not a figment of my imagination, my friend. That's not a figment of some imagination of some movie mogul that's making movies. My friend, there is an apocalypse. There is an end coming to this. And my friend, these nations are going to come and these nations are going to come against Israel. And as they come and as they march, they're going to prepare for a great battle. And you say, boy, that'll be some fight, won't it? Won't be no fight at all. Won't be no fight at all. You say, how come? I'll tell you why. Because you remember the scripture I read to you from 2 Thessalonians? Jesus Christ is going to be revealed from heaven. And when I read this book, I read that Jesus Christ is coming from heaven. And the clouds are going to roll back and the clouds are going to open up and you're going to be able to see into outer space. And as you look into outer space, my friend, across that Milky Way and from the constellation Orion comes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords riding on a white horse with his vesture dipped in blood and his name is called the Word of God. He comes with a sword and a shield. And my friend, as he comes, the host of heaven joins behind him. Ever how many angels that he's created for that great host of army, I do not know. And all of those who have died in Christ and have been, their spirits are with him. My friend, the whole host of heaven coming behind the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he steps down through the atmosphere and into this earth, my friend, at that great battle of Armageddon, my friend, he will destroy them with the sword of his mouth and blood will run as deep as horses' bridles. And there will be great consternation in the earth And it will take weeks, if not months, to bury the dead that's laying everywhere around in that part of Israel, in Megiddo, in the valley of Jezreel. My brothers and sisters, that's going to happen. You say, then what's going to happen? My friend, that's the time that Daniel saw when the stone came out of the mountain and crashed into the armies of this world and into the nations of this world. And that's the time, my friend, that those nations are going to be destroyed and the nations of this world are going to cease to exist. And you say, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen, my friend. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to set his foot. I know exactly where he comes back, where he's going to come. I know exactly where he's going to come. I read some book one time that said that the Indians were going to come up out of Mexico and they were going to set up the kingdom of God in Missouri. We ran into some fanatics down in Tennessee trying to build a four-square temple in Cleveland, Tennessee. My friend, I can tell you the kingdom of God cannot fit in Cleveland, Tennessee. I just can tell you that it cannot. But I can tell you what, when he comes down, my friend, he's coming back to the very place that he left. The very place that he came off of the ground and went back to heaven is where he's coming back. And the Bible teaches us that he will come down and set his foot on the Mount of Olives, right across where the Garden of Gethsemane is. And he's going to walk across that valley, my friend. And the eastern gate has been shut for all these centuries. But my friend, when Jesus Christ walks across that valley and up to that gate's going to come down and open, my friend. Bless the name of God. And he's going up there and he's going to sit down on the throne of his father David. And my friend, for 1,000 years, they're going to execute judgment from Jerusalem. Every nation on the earth will come up and bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end, my friend, will be the final battle when Satan is cast into hell. And there's a great judgment and all the people of the world have to stand before God and all the nations of the world have to stand before God and give an account of how they've treated God and how they've treated his people. And my friend, hell will be opened and enlarged its mouth and the lost and the damned will be cast into the lake of fire and the devil and his angels and all that's there. You say you believe in a burning hell? Well, the Bible believes in a burning hell, so I have to take what it says. I didn't write it, I just read it. I'm not smart enough to write that. My friend, you have to understand. You say, but what about the church during all this? Well, hallelujah, glorious church. You say, well, what's the church going to do when all that's going on? They're going to be shouting around the throne, honey. They're going to be shouting around the throne. They're going to be rejoicing with God. I mean, they're with him. You don't have to worry. You or your loved ones will never have to fight another battle. The last enemy to be destroyed will be death. And after that, my friend, it's glory all the way. And I mean to tell you, every nation, every person saved and redeemed and bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend, is standing before the throne of God, declaring Jesus to be Lord and rejoicing in what God has done. And that's the church triumphant, glorious. Hallelujah. That's the church that's covered by the blood. That's the church that's filled with the Spirit. That's the church, my friend, that has made herself ready for his coming. And I just want to know, are we ready? Are we making ourselves ready? Have we got ourselves in shape? What if today was the day? I say, oh, that's a scary thing. You shouldn't scare people like that. I ought to scare the devil out of you. I ought to scare hell out of you, my friend, so that you have heaven in your soul and a place for it. And I'm not attempting to scare you. I'm attempting to obey the word of God and declare the whole counsel of God and let you know that the whole purpose of this last book is to let you know, yeah, the history of the world is not good and it's not going to be good and it's not going to end good. But I can tell you, my friend, when the clouds roll back and the view is completed and clear, Jesus Christ is going to be standing there, Lord of all, King of kings. And my friend, never again, never again. Herb and I used to talk about this all the time. never again, ever, will sin raise its ugly head. Never again. I mean, this is the end of it. The devil's going to hell, folks. And all of his demons are going with him. And sadly, all of those who have not repented and who have not taken the Lord's side are going also. My friend, you don't want to miss it. You say you're getting up a load today? You got it. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm getting up a load today. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go? Don't you want Jesus, when he comes, to find you at peace? Don't you want to find that your name is written down in glory? And because of that, my friend, you're going to be in the victory side. You say, well, I don't like that old-time hellfire preaching. Well, my friend, I'm just sorry for you as I can be, but I have to tell you, you need to hear it, and you need to know. And I want you to know, you don't be afraid of this last book in the Bible, because it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's revealing him to the world. He is the Lord. Satan, his imps, his nations, his armies will make their stand, but they'll never be Lord of all. Only he will be. Father God, we come into your presence today. Lord, we recognize the precarious place that we're in history. We recognize, Father, what we have to face. And we realize that only by the blood of Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost can we face it. We recognize, Father, that we need to have our spiritual ears and eyes attuned to what's happening so that we, Lord, may be prepared and be ready. Oh God, speak to this audience here today and those who will be hearing it otherwise. Touch our hearts with the Spirit of God and the power of the Most High. And let your presence, oh God, be upon us, and your power touch us, and your grace anoint us. Father, if there be one lost hearing this message today, save that one, Lord, with your Spirit. Go to them with your presence and draw them to you. And Father, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our neglect. Forgive us, Father, for not being all that we should be. But help us to walk in the light. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.